Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. They tell me that in India they have a special method for catching monkeys. Food is placed in a narrow-necked jar. A monkey, having grasped a handful, finds he cannot withdraw his hand. Wanting the food, and yet at the same time longing for his freedom, he becomes desperate. But he seldom has the sense to drop the morsels of food. This illustration reminds us that there are people today caught in Satan's trap simply because they will not let go of things that are keeping them bound. On this program of the Emmaus Bible Hour, we're going to be considering the very important subject of triumph over temptation. Since temptation touches all of us, we feel the material before us in this course, Lessons for Christian Living, is of vital importance. This is Lesson 4, in case you're studying along with us. For all of you, we'd suggest that you may want to take notes. You will also be able to get our address at the close of the program. We'll be telling you at that time how you can get your own copy of the course, Lessons for Christian Living. Now, Lesson 4, page 1 of this lesson, Triumph Over Temptation. How can a Christian resist sinful temptations? Whenever a person is saved, a great struggle begins. He still has the old nature, the sinful nature of Adam, which will try to drag him into sin all the time. But he also has the new nature, the life of God, which hates sin and wants to do what is right. The two natures fight against each other continually. We have an example of this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Let's look that up. The Epistle of the Galatians, chapter 5, the 16th and 17th verses. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. The old nature is incurably bad. It cannot be improved. And it will not be removed until the Christian goes home to heaven. God condemned it when Christ died on the cross, and He wants Christians to treat it as if it were dead. Don't encourage it. Don't feed it. Don't give it a chance. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. That's Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. The new nature inspires the Christian to do good. It should be encouraged and fed. This then is how the Christian resists temptation, by saying no to the flesh or the old nature, and it's by nourishing the new life that is within. Now here are some practical suggestions as to how this may be done. Read the Bible. Study it. Memorize it. Obey it. Psalm 119, 9 and 11 remind us of the value of the Word of God. That's Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. Let's look at them together. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. We learn from this that the word of God helps us to keep from sinning. Be sure, therefore, that you set aside a definite time each day for the reading of God's word. Someone has asked the question, how large is your Bible? They answer by saying that Bibles range in size from a tiny book about a half inch thick, with pages no larger than an ordinary postage stamp, up to a volume of such immense proportion that several men are required to lift it. But the real answer, the important answer, is that the Bible you really own is just as big, and no bigger, than the amount of God's Word that you have really made your own through study, meditation, and practice of its precepts. Let's pause now for some music. And why not ask yourself that question? How much of the Word of God have I really claimed as my own? How large is my Bible? This is the Emmaus Bible Hour, and we're studying together the course, Lessons for Christian Living. This time it's Lesson 4, Triumph Over Temptation. Before we continue, may I remind you that this entire course is available in book form. Listen at the close of the program for information on how you can obtain your copy. Just before the music, we suggested that reading the Bible, studying it, memorizing it, meditating, and yes, obeying it, are important factors in victorious Christian living. Then pray. Pray without ceasing. Keep in touch constantly with the Lord. Whenever you are faced with temptation, ask God for help. He will give you the strength to overcome. If you try to resist by your own strength, you will surely fail. Next, seek the companionship of fellow believers and not the ungodly. It is often necessary to work and live with unbelievers, and in such cases we should witness to them both with our lips and by our lives. But we should not join with them in their worldly pleasures and amusements. Ephesians 5, 11, and 12 are good verses on this subject. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Those verses tell it like it is. If you do sin, confess your sins immediately. As soon as you are conscious that you have grieved your Father by a sinful thought, word, or deed, ask His forgiveness immediately. Do not wait until evening or even until the end of the week. Another suggestion to help you triumph over temptation: keep busy for the Lord. Someone has said that idle hands are the devil's workshop. Give your body to the Lord to use as He desires. There's plenty of work to be done, and you will be serving the best of masters. Continuing on the activity side, engage in some physical exercise. The Bible teaches that bodily exercise is profitable, but also points out its limitations. Because the believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, we should use reasonable means in maintaining the body in good health and strength. However, and here's a very important reminder, he should not allow sports to assume such an important place that spiritual things are crowded out. Our next point, starve the old nature. Be careful what you read, what you watch, and where you go. Also, what you listen to. Let me repeat that, because this touches all of our lives. Starve the old nature. Be careful what you read, what you watch, where you go, and what you listen to. On the positive side, feed your new nature. Be occupied with Christ. When you're thinking about Him, you cannot be thinking about sin. Take a good look at Philippians 4:8. That's the fourth chapter of Philippians and the eighth verse. This is one to memorize. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. This is really the secret of holy living, occupation with Christ. It is a fixed rule of life that we become like the object of our worship. 2 Corinthians 3:18 teaches us that we become like the Lord Jesus as we behold Him in the mirror of His Word. We are changed into His image or likeness by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. That reference was 2 Corinthians 3:18. Be sure to look it up after our study time. Someone has said occupation with others brings distraction. Occupation with self brings distress. Occupation with Christ brings delight. One final word on this subject of triumph over temptation. You will notice from our study that deliverance from temptation is not a once-for-all experience, but is a continual process of depending on God. No matter how old we get or how much we may learn about the Bible, we are still in danger of yielding to temptation if we take our eyes off the Lord. A very godly man used to pray that God would keep him from dying as a wicked old man. We all need to pray a similar prayer. Our time has gone very quickly. We'd like to remind those of you that are studying with us that it's now time to take exam number 2 and mail it to the address given. Next time we'll be talking about Christian conduct. What is it right to do? Is it wrong to do this, or is it right to do that? We'll be sharing some guidelines with you. You've been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.